This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda Senior Market Analyst in Singapore, Kelvin Wong. Good morning from London. Good afternoon to you, Kelvin.
Good afternoon over here from Asia, and good morning to you, Johnny, and a pleasure to hear from you again.
Let's start with the latest from Europe, more specifically France, because, of course, over the weekend, we saw the second round of the French parliamentary elections. Markets had expected that the national rally, the right-wing party, would win most seats, with other parties scrambling to prevent an overall majority. As it happened, tactical voting saw the left and the centrist parties doing much better than expected, and they pushed the national rally into third place. The question is, what effect has that had on the markets? Initially, I note that the euro was down, but it's steadied over the last few hours. What is happening at the moment?
Yeah, it seems to me that market participants are right now, at least in the short term, removing the fears of this far left coalition party from actually pushing up their very aggressive physical spending policy that could actually lead to the French budget deficit to breach much further into more than 5.5% right now based on last year budget deficit figure. So that actually reduced the fears of this ultra physical spending policy push by the far left. So this gives a bit of relief to the euro dollar. So in fact, the euro dollar initially, it gapped down during today's Asia session. And what we are seeing right now as we are speaking at this point in time, Johnny, the euro dollar has more or less traded back up to what we see around the close of last Friday US session, now back up to the day's high at around 1.084 as we are speaking. And what's interesting over here is that if you look at from a comparison perspective with the UK pound, the cable, which has already concluded its general election on the 4th of July, where the Labour has a majority say in the current UK politics. And given that the Labour right now is in favouring of a much more pro-growth policy compared to versus a traditional socialist policy, that actually caused the pound to actually outperform the euro at this juncture, at least in the short term. So if we look at the current euro sterling rate using the euro as the base currency, so in fact, the euro sterling, as I was speaking right now, on last Friday, it actually broke down below a key near-term support at 0.8457. And right now, it's trading slightly lower at 0.8450. From a short-term technical analysis perspective, it seems to us that there could be further potential downside pressure on the euro sterling, given this current slightly weak short-term technical picture that is painting out right now. So near-term support level to watch on the euro sterling will be at this 84.36, followed by the 84 figure level, which is close to a 22-month low.
Interesting, isn't it, that while on the one hand we've now got a very stable situation in the UK with the Labour Party having achieved a massive majority in last week's general election, and we've got the absolute reverse in France. Now, it's been some time that you can say that the UK is the stable country compared with, say, that's one of the European powerhouses in terms of financial markets. Fascinating how we're now seeing, finally, after years of turbulence within the British economy, perhaps we're going to see a reverse, so that sterling is going to become stronger, while the euro possibly could become weaker.
Yes, yes, precisely. So something to actually take a look out for, especially from a medium-term to long-term perspective. But do not forget over here is that we also need to take into consideration on a relative basis, especially talking about the stances of the US Federal Reserve. In the last 1 year or so, the US Federal Reserve has been advocating about this data-dependent stance. They do not want to actually fall back to their previous era in terms of setting up their monetary policy, where in the past they actually hiked interest rates much slower than the other central banks, causing an inflationary scare to the US economy. And right now, they are much more hesitant, especially the European Central Bank and even the BOE, in deciding when to actually cut their interest rate in the US.
Now, talking of interest rates, we're going to get the latest US CPI numbers later in the week, another crucial bit of data coming along. as we've seen over the last couple of weeks or so, with the core PCE numbers, non-farm last week as well, it would seem that we're pointing to not one but two interest rate cuts from the United States this year, and perhaps soon rather than later. So this figure, this CPI figure later in the week, is crucial.
Yes, precisely. So if you look at the current core inflation rate, the previous month of May, that was actually a release, 3.4% year on year in May. So that was actually the lowest in terms of level over the last, I would say it's a three-year low at 3.4% in May. So market is expecting another soft number as well, coming in a similar rate at 3.4%. So very clearly, the inflation trend in US has continued to decelerate on the downside. And also, do not forget over here is that even though the Fed is pretty much concerned about inflationary expectation picking up, yes, inflation expectation is pretty much correlated to oil prices. So if you look at the oil prices right now, it seems to be hovering at around a stable range, $90 range resistance. So at the bottom, we do see about $75 per barrel on the WTI crude oil. So given if oil prices continue to contain within the upper limit of the range at $90 per barrel, that could also help to cap any heightened inflationary expectation kicking back up in the US market, which also could support this potential interest rate cut cycle in the US with a high odds of two interest rate cuts before 24. And so based on the Fed Funds interest rate futures market compiled by the CME FedWatch 2, we do see a high probability, about 70% chance of the first cut to come in the September FOMC meeting. And in December meeting, which is right after the US presidential election in November, the market is looking at close to about 85% chance of another cut in the December meeting. So all in all, if the data continues to move in line with consensus, I believe that the Fed itself being advocating a data-dependent stance, they got to actually start cutting rates. I mean, they couldn't be saying that holding on for patience for how long, but given the step that the amount of patience has more or less been supported by this ongoing softness data that is being played out in the US right now.
Apart from US CPI, we've got some inflation data from China as well, Kelvin. Tell us about that.
Sure. So for China, inflation data is out on Wednesday. So for China market, it's a bit different. What the market wants over here is resurgence of slight inflationary pressure back in China. Do not forget over here is that China do have a deflation scare given the plumbering of this housing market in China that causes a very significant negative feedback loop in terms of internal demand via weak corporate investment and weak consumer spending. So what's interesting over here is that we do have two data release. One is the PPI and one is the inflation rate. So the PPI data, market is expecting a slight expectation improvement of PPI rate to negative 0.8% year on year in June from negative 1.4% year on year in May. So that actually reduces the pace of deceleration in PPI, which could actually help Chinese consumer inflation to continue to hold slightly above the positive level at around 0.4% year on year. That's what market is expecting for June, a slight uptick of 0.3% year on year that was printed in May. So if the PPI data from China continues to decelerate at a slower pace, that could be an encouraging sign that it actually reduces the odds of a deflationary risk spiral in China. And moving on over here is that at the end of this week, which is on Friday, we do have the unofficial start of the Q2 earnings reporting season in the US. So on this Friday, we do have the couple of major banks that are reporting. So JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, and as well as Citigroup, all three major banks reporting their Q2 earnings before the start of the US market open on this coming Friday. And what's interesting over here is that in the last 3 weeks or so, we do see a bit of earnings, EPS, expected earnings shrinkage by the banking sector in the US by analysts, sell-side analysts. So this time around, the consensus for the on the average for earnings per share of JP Morgan is coming at the lower end at $4.14. Wells Fargo will be $1.28 and Citigroup at $1.40. So given the relatively low level of earnings consensus from these three major banks that is being pushed downwards or revised downwards in the last 3 or 4 weeks or so, if the earnings result managed to beat such lowball expectation, we could potentially see a rally in these banking stocks itself. And do not forget over here is that there could be a steepening of the US Treasury yield curve, given the fact that an imminent interest rate, two interest rate cuts by the Fed Funds Reserve, that could also potentially benefit the bank's lending operations. So something to look out for this coming Friday.
We certainly will look out for that. Kelvin, thank you very much for joining us today. Have a great week.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.